The scripture reading for today is from the Gospel according to Luke, 24th chapter, if you want to turn to that. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12, and I'll read it for you, and you can follow along in your book, in your Bible. The record of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe them, the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." You will recognize that the scripture I just read to you is one of the accounts of Jesus' resurrection. On most calendars, this day is called Easter Sunday. Some prefer not to call it that, since it is identified with an ancient pagan celebration based on a goddess from which the word Easter was taken. To those who object to calling this day Easter, Resurrection Day seems more accurate and scriptural. But regardless of what we call it, we should all agree that this is a very special day. And because of what happened on that day, there is ample reason for us all to celebrate together. This should not be a same old 6 and 7 day. This should not be a ho-hum day, but a day to sing and shout and get all excited. Why? Because the most fantastic event that has ever happened in the history of the world took place on a day like this. Now, it didn't start out that way for a group of women who went to a tomb to prepare a body for permanent burial. Luke's account tells us that those same women had gathered the necessary materials to embalm the body of Jesus the day he was crucified. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the law. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they returned to the tomb to carry out their final tribute to Jesus and to minister lovingly to his dead body. The only problem was there was no body to minister to, and there was no dead Jesus to which to pay their final respects. These women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and at least two others, discovered the stone rolled away, and when they entered the tomb, they found that it was empty. Suddenly, we are told, they were joined by two men in shining garments, and they were asked this question: "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" I wonder if we've ever done that. I'm quite sure that in addition to being awestruck at the sight of these two angelic beings, they were also very confused. Then the two messengers spoke one of the most wonderful messages that had ever been uttered in the history of the world. This is what I call the 7 most wonderful words. When I was preparing this sermon, for some reason, the title of a popular song kept running through my mind. It was sung by Nat King Cole, for one that sang it, and it was called Three Little Words. How many of you remember the song Three Little Words? You're all too young, I guess. Well, three little words. Here's how it goes. Three little words. Oh, what I'd give for that wonderful phrase. To hear those three little words, that's all I'd live for the rest of my days. Well, those three little words were, of course, I love you. While those words were called little, it started me to thinking about all of the big words that have been spoken throughout history. Words like those of Moses to Pharaoh, when he said in a very bold way, let my people go. Or words like Joshua to the Israelites, when he said, don't be dismayed, don't be afraid, for the Lord our God is with you. Or what about the words that were spoken by Jesus on the cross? Those last words, sometimes called the last words of Jesus on the cross. Very meaningful words. Or what about Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address? Or Winston Churchill's great speech, his dramatic speech, when all seemed lost for England? There have been many great speeches and important words spoken in the past, but none were as important as those words that were spoken to those women on that first day of the week. You've probably already guessed what those words are, but here they are. He is not here. He has risen. Now you can count those words and make sure there's seven of them. Those, I submit to you, are the seven most wonderful words ever spoken. On this day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, let's think for just a little while why that message is so wonderful and so important. Remember, I told you that when these women came to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' body and instead found an empty tomb, they were upset and confused. Then when the two men with clothes that gleamed like lightning appeared to them, they were so afraid that they fell to the ground awestruck. After the messengers told them that Jesus was not there because he had risen, they reminded the women of Jesus' own words. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. When they heard those words, they remembered that Jesus had told them ahead of time what was going to happen. It was kind of one of those aha moments. Yes, they might have said to themselves, didn't Jesus tell us ahead of time that he was going to be raised again, that he would have to die, but that he would not stay in the tomb? But we just didn't put it together. At that point, I wonder if they realized that they should have come expecting to find an empty tomb. Now, before we're too hard on these women, let's remember what they had just gone through. They had seen Jesus arrested, condemned. They had seen his battered, bruised, bloodied body as he was led off to be crucified. They had witnessed his awful suffering on the cross. And finally, they had seen him breathe his last breath, as he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. They had watched as the body was taken down from the cross and wrapped in linen and placed in the tomb. All that they had seen on that day we now call Good Friday more or less conditioned them to expect nothing more than to find Jesus' body laying in the tomb and preparing that body for permanent burial. At that point, they simply could not believe for anything more. We look at those women and the other disciples and say, they should have had more faith. They should have expected Jesus to rise up from the grave. They should have been waiting for him to come to them. But you see, their faith was shattered. They lost all hope. Have you ever been there? Ever had anything in your life happen to you that caused you to wonder? That caused you to think, maybe it's all over? And that's the way they felt. You can almost feel the hurt in the voice of one of the men walking on the road to Emmaus. They had been joined by the risen Lord, but they didn't recognize who he was as they walked along. And one of them said to Jesus, "We had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel." Did you get that? We had hoped. Past tense. Game over. That's why those words that I say are the most wonderful ever spoken are so important. They are what we call game changers. They turn darkness into light, gloom into glory, and hopelessness into hopefulness. When they thought Jesus was dead, it was like having the rug yanked out from under them. But once they realized that Jesus was really alive, it changed everything. And it should for us as well. Think about the simplicity and yet the grandeur of that message. He is not here. The women were looking for Jesus in the wrong place. It was a natural mistake. Now, I've been to my share of cemeteries in my time, and I don't think it's an overstatement to say people don't go to cemeteries looking for life. We don't go there to visit our live relatives and friends. We go there to pay our respects to those who have died. And if we saw them out walking around when we went there, we would be somewhat amazed. And so these women were as well. To say it the least, these women had seen Jesus die on the cross and had seen him buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. So it was natural for them to expect to see Jesus' dead body when they went to that tomb on the first day of the week. But as we know, because we live in the post-resurrection era and we have a different perspective on it than they did at the time, we know that Jesus was no longer there. We don't know where Jesus went after he rose from the dead. We don't know what he did except after he appeared to the disciples. But he was not there. The tomb was empty. He was not in the place of death anymore. Jesus was now in the place of resurrection life. A few years ago, some guy found some bones in a box in an area in the Holy Land, I think it was. He tried to make everyone believe that these were Jesus' bones, thus, of course, disputing about the resurrection. Of course, it was a bogus claim. But some people would say almost anything to tear down the faith and the truth that they can't accept. No, Jesus is no longer in the place of death. He is in the place of life. He lives. And that's where we'll find him. And that's where he bids us come to him. And that is an important part of the message of Easter. The women who went to the tomb on that first resurrection day, in addition to being told he is not here in this place of death, were also told he has risen. Now, one of the traditional greetings that has been part of the Easter observance is the phrase, "The Lord is risen." And the response is, "He is risen indeed." That's something I think that the Eastern churches have employed. But that pretty well summarizes what Easter is all about. He has risen. Yes, I believe he has. As I said earlier, the women should not have been surprised about what happened because Jesus had told them ahead of time what he was going to do. He said he was going to die, but he also said that he was going to rise again. It was such an impossible claim that it must have gone right over the heads of the disciples, or even something else that might be worse. They just didn't believe it. I wonder how many times important truths have escaped us. You know, in Sunday school this morning, we had an Easter quiz. And I would say that people who were there did very well. They had pretty good knowledge. But maybe preachers should start giving their listeners pop quizzes to see how much of what they have said has soaked in or has been retained. Would you like that? More than that, however, is what all of this talk about the resurrection means to us and how it applies to us. For those first disciples of Jesus, realizing that Jesus was alive made all the difference in the world. What turned everything around. And it should affect us in the same way. Let's look at what I call the implications of the resurrection for us. I want to do that by quoting the words of a couple of songs that we like to sing at Easter time. The first one is the Gaither song, Because He Lives. The words say, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living, just because He lives. What those words tell us is that because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have the hope of life that is eternal, and we no longer have to be afraid of what life may bring to us here and now or in the future, even death itself. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. Jesus promised us so much more than just a meager existence. He said, we shall live. And that means live abundantly as well as eternally. Because I live, He said, you shall live also. What would life be like? Think about this. What would life be like if Jesus had not risen from the dead? So let's be very thankful that He lives. The second song is a hymn that we're going to sing to close with today as an invitation hymn. I Serve a Risen Savior. Some of the words of this song say, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. And men say a lot. That's the challenge for us. Can we say that I know that Jesus lives? I know that He lives. This is a part of the bedrock of our faith. It is the foundation of our salvation. The Apostle Paul said, if Jesus did not arise from the dead, then our faith is in vain. So that's why it's so important for us to know, to believe, to hold on to that. This song ends with the words, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Perhaps that is the best proof of all of the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus lives in us. And that changes everything for us. Make no mistake about it, my friends. The world will try to rip this part of our faith right out of our hearts. But we must hold on to it with everything that is in us. This is the difference between Christianity and all of the other religions of the world. Their founders, their leaders died, but none of them, not one, came back from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. They serve dead leaders. If we could only have the excitement and the passion that those first disciples had when they realized that Jesus was alive, we would be able to boldly stand on our faith and say, He is risen. He is alive. And because of that fact, our lives will never be the same again. And not only do we have hope for the future, but we have a reason to rejoice right now. Praise God. Praise God. He is alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to go forth this morning with these words ringing in our hearts and minds. He is alive. And because he is alive, we shall live also. Help us to walk in that truth, to live in that truth daily. And when we have the opportunity to share that truth with others. Thank you, Father, for your Son Jesus, who not only died, but who lives again and makes intercession for us now as we live here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.